Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody, welcome to episode 283 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson. I'm sending you over to Jason Rugard. He's got a rundown for us.
On the box office ace prediction game, we talk about The Green Inferno, The Intern, and Hotel Transylvania Part 2. A little bit of trivia for you guys and some conversation topics. Ronda Rousey's going to headline a Roadhouse reboot. I don't know about that. Also, Christopher Nolan's next project is coming out in a summer from now, and we will be talking about the soundtrack to Star Wars The Force Awakening, John Williams' score coming at you, but not before the movie's released. Also, reviews for While We're Young, The Maze Runner, and Trailer Addict. We've got Our Brand is Crisis, Demolition, Krampus, Back in Time, The Jungle Book, the new Creed trailer, and Steve Jobs, the feature trailer for that. Got a full show, so let's jump right into it.
It's not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
Okay, whatever. Let's play the game. I don't even know what's happening at this point.
The box office is
I don't care.
Not nearly as strong as they thought it was going to be, right? So we got The Maze Runner opening up at projected like 30 to 31 range, and Black Hat in the $22 million range. And they're looking at Everest in about 7.5. which is very strong for a limited IMAX run, which I hear The Walk is going to do the same experiment coming out a week early in IMAX.
Well, they've already done this before.
Yeah, well, they did it with Mission Impossible, I think, most notably, or most successfully.
Yeah. Well, let's move on. We got four movies coming out. Green Inferno, Hotel Transylvania 2, The Intern, and Sicario Goes Wide.
Yeah.
So the Intern, these are all hard.
I think it has the most potential to connect with adult audiences, although I think Hotel Transylvania is most likely going to win the weekend. But you think this is a little early for that, no? I thought that last one came out in October. Does this feel just a hair early?
I mean, maybe. I think it doesn't really matter, right? It's a little kid's Halloween movie. I think people are in the mood.
It's true. And the Minions and Inside Out have since faded. So
all the Halloween stores are opening already, so I think they're fine.
Okay, so this is definitely going to win the weekend, we think. I think this last one, I think,
without an issue,
42, I think the last one did. I don't think this does quite as good a business, but I'm going to put this one at 33.
Okay, yeah, I was saying 38.
So we're right in the same wheelhouse there. Also, we have The Intern, the Anne Hathaway, Robert De Niro film. This is Nancy Meyers' return to the screen. These movies always seem to find their audience. This one looks like it's going to be a crowd pleaser. Long fans of ours know I'm not an Anne Hathaway fan, but I do think this one scores, and I'm going to put this one at the $21 million mark.
Okay, right now I'm a little softer. I'm at 16.
Which is still,
but we'll see.
I think multiplier on this movie does good. I think that you're looking at 60 to 80 million.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a fat. This will be a slow burn. This is something that people like to ease into these types of movies. Mm-hmm. Even when they do poorly, people ease into these, right?
Well, it reminded me of something like It's Complicated, you know, something along that line.
Exactly.
Kind of
any other. I mean, really, this is trying to be a holiday Thanksgiving-ish type movie without actually being that, is it not?
Oh, yeah, because if this hangs around for a couple more weeks, you can get some people and families out there and the word to spread. So this probably will play for at least 6 weeks, I figure, in the top 10. Also, we have The Green Inferno, Eli Roth, I think chillingly looking horror film. Once again, I question why this is being released so far in advance of Halloween, when traditionally horror films do well. This has not been the year for horror, so I don't know if this really scores. I'm conflicted on this because I think it looks so good. I just don't know if anyone's going to see it. So I'm going $6 million on this.
Yeah, I'm at three. I don't think people are going to come out and see this. I think it's too weird.
You think this would have been a better video on demand simultaneous release?
Yeah, probably. And you know, closer to Halloween. It's such an odd movie. You know, it's very in the style of, you know, 40 years ago, right? It's this
Last
70s, 80s, you know, yeah, maybe even 50 years ago, right? It's very like cutting edge decades ago, which is cutting edge again in a way, you know, so it's very cool, but you know, it's an oddity. So I don't know if people come out to see this as much as they do like a Paranormal Activity, right? Obviously, that's mainstream. This is not.
What's interesting is that this is the way things used to be, and now the found footage stuff is the mainstream and things like that.
Well, the mainstream is softer, right? This is very hard. And mainstream stuff, especially in horror, is softer. Right? You see more PG-13 than R.
This almost looks like it has the gross-out effect of something like The Human Centipede, which to extremes. You know what I mean?
That's a niche at this point. Exactly. And it works, but you know, when you're talking mainstream horror, you're talking PG-13, easy scares, not something that's really gross. And this looks to go against that, so which is, you know, great for it. I think it'll make money, right, doing that, but it's just not going to hit the mainstream.
No. And next we have Sicario, which I think looks fantastic. Also did very well this weekend in limited release.
This is going to play.
This is also your holiday corridor type movie.
That's what I'm saying. This is the beginning of the awards corridor. This movie's kicking it off. You know, Steve Jobs is coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, The Martian going to make a play for things.
The Martian's also coming out. But, you know, we'll talk about other stuff in the trailer attic as well. But yeah, so this is the kickoff to this. I think this has a slow burn as well, just because it's one of those awards movies where the word's already getting out on the acting in this is supposedly very good. So
not only that, I mean, I've heard things about the cinematography and all sorts of major categories. So you're looking at something like Traffic, which obviously Benicio del Toro, the star of this, was in that. But that did $100 million back then in 2000, which is like $170 million now. This is nowhere going to make that kind
of
coin.
But in its lifetime.
Yeah, it's lifetime. But this is for sure going to be at least something that connects, I think, a little bit better than other movies that have tried to make this play that didn't cross over so well, like Way of the Gun and things like, or even Savages, you know, more recently. So I'm going to go $13 million on this for this opening.
Okay, yeah, I was at 10. So obviously this, I don't know what the theater count is for this. So that's going to be...
Yeah, that could waver on that.
A big difference on this, but I still don't see this, you know. It would be hard for this really to get over, you know, into the 20 millions. I don't see how it would ever
even
do
though
that,
this had
know.
A $62,000 per screen average on like six screens. Yeah, I still think $7,000 per screen.
Yeah, I would think like 15, 16, 17 million would be top performance for this, even if it opened super wide. I just don't see how it could get into the 20s. So,
well, I think, not to go too much into depth here, but I think that Black Mass is going to continue very well next weekend. And I think that's going to actually bite into this audience. And once Black Mass gets done with its run,
I think this will start
rising in popularity.
Yeah, Black Mass, what I'm saying, this is going to be a slow burn. Black Mass will be a quicker.
Yeah,
it'll burn out faster.
Sensational. All right, let's move on and a little trivia here. So I got some Disney trivia.
Oh, boy.
Talk about the Jungle Book later. And you grew up in the Disney era. So did I. I mean, shit.
Well, everyone did, right? The Disney era is right now.
That's true, but this is like the Pixar, Disney, Marvel era. I mean, I'm talking about the true animation when every
that was produced, even before our time.
That's true. That is true.
Isn't every generation Disney generation at this point, right? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Because in my childhood, I mean, I really
but I get what you're saying.
From about you're talking Little like Mermaid to like
yeah,
Hercules.
You're talking like 2D animation and shit where people had to sit there and actually do this themselves.
Yeah, where you would look for all like the creepy drawings and the shit in the back. Remember the penis on the cover of Little Mermaid?
Sure. Yeah. The naked lady in was it Rescuers?
See? All sorts of crazy shit. The whole website's dedicated to that. Look it up, people. Do your film history. All right, so 1985 was basically the year before Disney got their shit together. And they produced a movie that was a notorious failure. This was an animated kids movie. I'm actually a fan of this movie, so I remember this from when I was a kid. But it was the first PG animated film they ever released. Do you know the name of this 1985 animated film from Disney?
I don't.
It's The Black Cauldron. Did you ever see that?
I don't think I ever saw Black Cauldron.
The Black Cauldron isn't as bad as its reputation leads you to believe.
I wasn't really into the animated stuff. I mean, here and there, but...
It just was before, this was back when they would just re-release shit every summer, like Snow White or Cinderella, Lady and the Tramp, before, you know, they kind of got their own original material or dug back into things, other stories, like Beauty and the Beast and things like that. I mean, that's when I figured Disney was at its highest, because you got Beauty and the Beast nominated for Best Picture in 1992. I mean, that's crazy. Think about that.
The 90s was definitely a...
Aladdin was a massive cultural hit. All right, let's move on and talk a little movie news here. What we got here? Ronda Rousey. We like Ronda Rousey, right?
Dude, I'm getting tired of hearing about her.
The mean Julia Stiles? I mean,
everyone just keeps talking about her, and It's like, just leave her alone.
I actually think this bit of news, though, fits what they're trying to push her into. Mm-hmm. And it actually fits this role because it makes sense. Flipping the genders here, we're talking about the Roadhouse reboot, the seminal 1989 Patrick Swayze film. And if you're not a fan of Roadhouse, fuck you.
Well, I mean, if there's anyone around today that could rip out someone's throat, it would be Ronda Rousey, right?
Right? And I would like the bad guy to say to her, I fuck girls prettier than
I would never say that to her ever, because that's, you'd be dead.
That was the strangest. I remember as a kid watching the movie and going, why did he just say that to him? And then he rips out
his
throat.
Thinking,
what the fuck?
You know why.
Yeah, I know why now, but it was odd. It seems like a 10-year-old.
Yeah, you don't say that to her. She'd kill you.
No, but Roadhouse is its own beast in a way. First of all, why is Patrick Swayze's two best movies being remade in succession? They remade Point Break and now
they're remaking Ghost?
No, they should though. That seems like an idea you can remake.
Whoopi's still around and available, so.
Oh, please.
I'm just saying.
They get Kerry Washington nowadays.
I'm definitely watching. Exactly. Is she the new Whoopi? Are you saying Kerry Washington is the new Whoopi Goldberg?
No, what I'm saying is, if we'll say this, we're going to end up with a Zac Efron headline fucking Ghost reboot here in a few weeks if we're not careful. Okay. Is that you, Sam? Yes. All right. What else we got here? Christopher, I love when they just drop this kind of news. Like, it's some fucking pearl from the gods that Christopher Nolan's new movie is going to come out in summer of 2017. But
oh, thank goodness.
Mum's the word.
I've been waiting.
That worked out so well for Interstellar. Hey, listen to this, by the way. You'll get a kick out of this. So my sister and my brother-in-law, they just bought this new TV setup, right? And they're all stoked. It's a great setup. And they got 3D, and they get Mad Max Fury Road to watch because neither of them saw it in the theater. And they actually see a lot of movies in the theater, but they didn't catch this one. So my sister is all stoked to watch it, and she's watching it, and I get these text messages. This is the worst movie I've ever seen. I had to walk away from it. And it pissed me off. I had to tell her, you have the worst fucking taste in movies because you keep telling me how Interstellar is like the greatest thing ever.
Oh, jeez.
And thank you. And she's like, no, Interstellar is great. Mad Max suck. And I'm like, that's the last time we're talking about movies for a while. Can you believe that shit? I still can't get over
that. That's pretty bad.
That hurt my soul. Know. That really did. I was like, are we even fucking related here?
I mean, when I see trailers for The Martian, I just think, God, Interstellar sucks so bad.
I just think that's the good Interstellar.
That's what I mean. I was like, this is the movie. This is it right here. I was like, God, Interstellar sucks.
Interesting, though, that since Gravity's success now, we do get that kind of succession of every year now having the serious space movie. I mean, it's no coincidence that 3 years in a row we've had Gravity, Interstellar, and now The Martian. All it takes is a little bit of a success in the genre. I guess. Gladiator was a success, and we had Alexander.
To be fair, those, all directed by three pretty fairly big directors who are all very into sci-fi. So, I mean, I don't know. That probably has a lot more to play into it.
And really, I thought only Gravity was successful out of the two. So we'll see how The Martian was.
Well, The Martian looks great. And obviously, it does look good. It's the perfect kind of Ridley Scott movie. So,
but Christopher Nolan, like I said, not this. Have you seen Insomnia, by the way?
Fuck, I don't think so. I know
streaming
exactly
on Netflix
what you're talking
right now,
about.
The Al Pacino,
I don't think I've
Robin
ever.
Williams film.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say I saw it, but I can't remember it, so I might as well not have. I mean, I remember when it came out.
I've seen the first act. I'm not shitting you. I've seen that first act probably half a dozen times, and I've never made it past it for whatever reason. I used to play on HBO all the time, so it's streaming, and I keep telling myself, I'm going to sit down and watch it. And I just got The Prestige as well to watch that, because I've never seen that either. Have you seen The Prestige?
You haven't seen The Prestige. The Prestige is actually really good, but unfortunately it's a Christopher Nolan movie.
Ah.
And that's the best thing I can say for it. You know, he's just the worst. I don't like him. His whole style is just hit you over the head with a hammer, And like, I fucking get it. But The Prestige is
you can't say he's the worst and you don't like him, because you and I fucking love Batman Begins. You and I both think that's a flawless
film. That's the only one.
Well, it's still a flawless film. And to have one flawless film in your canon is pretty, pretty amazing still. I mean, but I do agree that he's gotten a little bit
He makes shitty movies. Right, I mean, The Dark Knight.
Yeah, I can't.
It's got problems. Wonderful. He has great, scene by scene, his shit's really good. A movie as a whole sucks.
It's.
I mean, that's the truth of it.
It's too.
It's true.
they've gotten to be too didactic. They're too preachy, as we're preaching.
He
right
doesn't
now
deal with theme very well. He doesn't deal with twists very well. You know, it's a lot of build for very little. They're just not very good.
To be fair, I'm going to go back and I'm going to rewatch some of his catalog here.
Because watch The Prestige.
I have The Prestige and I got Inception. I'm going to give it a shot.
That one's worth it. And I've been wanting to give Inception another shot, but still, I mean, and our biggest complaint, I think, together is that his movies lack a sense of fun.
Yeah,
I mean,
why
seriously,
so
they need some that moment, and they just don't have it.
It's like being trapped in Blade Runner all the time, you know.
Okay,
let's move on. This is a little bit of a
trivial
news here, I guess, that John Williams' score, which famously, let's give some background here. They're talking about the Star Wars: The Force Awakens score. Now, they're going to wait to release this till after the movie comes out, because in 99, when Phantom Menace was out, they released the score weeks in advance, just like they did the novelization, which they'll probably do this time, so people will know what's going on before they get in the movie if they read the book. But the score itself was titled things like Qui-Gon's Death, you know, major fucking spoilers that it caused an uproar.
That's how
the
they do scores.
Exactly. it's because it's basically musical cues for scene cues. But
yeah.
So they're holding this to make sure the spoilers don't get out. And at this point, I'm getting a little fucking tired. We're less than 100 days away. Can you please start giving me something of what I'm going to see? And did you hear about that Disney's toying with the idea? I love the word toying here, too, because it's like, what do you mean you're toying here? You guys are sitting in a fucking room.
They toy.
Toying with one another. You guys are debating this in your conference room, so much money you get. But they're actually thinking about charging a premium rate for like what you pay to see IMAX or large format things for every screening of Star Wars. Did you hear this?
No, but I'm. I
does that surprise you at all?
Right? No. Does it surprise you?
Yes, it does, because that now we start getting into the tricky thing of, should we pay different prices for what movies have budget wise? If a movie's budgeted at $500 million, should the ticket to that be as much as something that's $5
million? The budget of the Star Wars movie isn't.
I know, but you get what I'm saying.
I've been in the past, so.
I'm just saying. So our
yeah. So we're
going to
start doing
expensive?
A movie, but everything's a blockbuster movie, right? I mean, that's the problem we get into. What movie? Right? What movie is not a blockbuster movie? These things are all overdone, right?
I think we both agree that everything's about half an hour too long right now.
But we've overspent on everything.
Start cutting subplots that are not necessary and don't build on your themes. That's the first thing you should start doing in these blockbusters. If it's not building on the overall theme of the movie, why is this scene in the movie? Is it just to be there to show me some more special effects? Because
yes,
that's just bloating shit.
They're just trying to give you a ride and to make you feel like you have your money's worth, and that's all they worry about.
I get that, but a ride keeps you engaged the entire time. Doesn't bore you.
I get bored. Yeah. I get bored when we try to do the ride stuff.
Yeah. Not a ferry.
Well, that's what they're doing. I don't know. It seems to be working, so. Until it stops working, I think we're just fucked. You and I. Everyone else seems to enjoy it. So
it's getting old, my friend. We've moved into a different demographic. We'll talk about that
in
a little bit.
Yeah, so they, you know, they're happy.
Hey, how about we take a quick break? We'll come back with some reviews and the trailer attic part of the show.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Why haven't you seen Jaws?
I've seen Finding Nemo. That's close enough, right?
Why haven't you seen The Usual Suspects?
Because I already know who Kaiser Soze is.
I can't believe you haven't seen Videodrome.
What? Has anyone seen Videodrome?
You haven't seen Psycho?
Okay. How about I start a podcast where someone will introduce me to one of these great movies I've never seen before, and in return, I'll have them watch a superhero movie, film-wise. The Why Haven't You Seen This Film podcast. Find it on iTunes or Stitcher Radio.
Okay, great idea for a podcast.
I wonder if they run out of superhero movies yet.
That's a good question. Yeah, I know. I wonder, he must know a lot of obscure superhero movies because they are out there.
Yeah, there are a lot. There's like some really odd ones out there. Like Lightyear and things like that.
Yeah.
Or Lightspeed. All right. I want to talk about a movie with you that you recommended to me a couple weeks ago, and I got to tell you, it couldn't have been a better recommendation. I've been putting off watching While We're Young for a while now, and I forced myself to watch it, and I don't want to use the word delighted, but the last time I felt like this watching a movie that felt so true in every line and every scene was almost famous. Mm-hmm. I kind of got that buzz off watching this movie where I just fell in love with movies again. You know, I've watched a string of movies recently that haven't been the greatest, and it turns you off. You watch shit product, you're just like, it's the same old shit here and go. And this movie just got me reinvigorated, not only because it's brilliantly done in all arenas, but just because it's a fucking movie that is just, it's in love with movies itself, the movie, you know? So I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. And it's a 4-star WOW movie. Everybody should see WOW We're Young.
It's currently running for my favorite of the year.
Absolutely.
Really.
I would 100% agree with you. I've given a couple things 4-star recommendations this year. This is absolutely my favorite movie of the year so far.
Yeah, story-wise, I don't think anything's going to beat this. Writing. I don't think anything this year.
For people that don't know, this is Ben Stiller, Naomi Watts play a mid-40 couple. Never had kids. He's a documentarian, not quite as successful as he thought he was going to be, and encounters this 25-year-old couple. And basically, he finds a younger, better version of himself, is how I took it. And one that was more aggressive and willing to do the backstabbing shit that he wouldn't do. Just like in the scene that where his father-in-law tells him, you should be more aggressive. Remember that? When he says, I'm not going to have. So I loved that setup because at the end, you know, I don't want to give things away, but the anticlimactic ending when the stepfather starts, you know, says
that's the ending, but it's not.
But you understand why he says that because he saw the aggressiveness. You know what I'm saying? Stood that.
One of the things I love about these types of movies, I know Baumbach does this, and a lot of people within this same filmmaking camp who have the same style do this, is they don't require or force a lot of change onto their main characters. Like, he's really not very changed when he comes out at the end of this movie.
No.
He is a little bit more aggressive. He does decide, okay, well, you know, finally I need to move on. You know, I'm not young anymore. I'm old. I am who I am. He does have that realization. And all these characters do kind of have that. I mean, in Reitman's films, they do it as well. You know, they have that realization of who they are, and they usually just say, fuck it, I'm going to be myself, and they don't change. And I love that kind of stuff that's going on right now.
This movie had a fantastic soundtrack as well. I mean, you have everything so on good. Here from Tupac Shakur to Paul McCartney. I mean, it's just fantastic. I mean, beautifully timed. I've never liked Ben Stiller more in any role he's ever played. I fucking loved him in this movie. You and I are in the age between these two characters. So I'm half relating to one, still seeing
it
myself
weird,
in the
right?
other.
Yeah.
It's this weird thing. I mean, it's the kind of movie that it makes you, I think anybody from their 20s, 30s, and 40s could watch this movie and pull a lot of things out of this. And I never liked Adam Driver. And, you know, the thing is, I don't like the guy
so
in this
good
movie.
In this, though.
Yeah, but this movie reaffirms my suspicion that he's a prick. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's how in real life? I'm sure.
No, I'm just saying, he's so good in this movie, in this role. I can't imagine
really
anybody else playing this role. I heard Franco, it was originally earmarked for. I'm glad he didn't do it.
I would
it.
Rather have Adam Driver, yeah.
And Adam Horowitz from the Beastie Boys is fantastic as his buddy, as Ben Stiller's buddy. I mean, just beautifully done. And I don't know why when people talk about their favorite directors, how come these names don't come up? Like Adam Ogoyan, Noah Baumbach, Jason
They
Reitman.
Come up when I talk about people.
I know, but these names, those guys are making movies.
These are
like
the
this.
Film geniuses right now, as far as I'm concerned.
They're never nominated for – I mean, Reitman's got most success out of all of them. But Baumbach –
And that's dead already, though.
The Squid and the Whale is one of the most devastating movies I've ever seen about the topic of divorce. I mean, Jesse Eisenberg's in that 10 years ago when he's nobody, and – It's brilliant. That movie, I've never seen Greenberg, but now I'm going to go back and watch it.
Greenberg's great if you haven't seen that. Yeah.
Just because this, I hate to go on and on about it if you haven't seen it, but this movie should be seen by anybody that even thinks they like
movies. Tell me the juxtaposition, and we grew up in both these, through
the
80s, 90s, so we know this,
yeah, exactly.
But I loved the Netflix searching and then the guy
going
to pick up the VHS tape and watching, because that's how it was. You know, we don't watch anything nowadays, but back in the day when you had a limited set of shit, I watched the same stuff over and over again. I wouldn't be caught dead. Watching the same shit over and over again. Now
it was like a book.
Concerned.
You reread it. You know what I mean? Like So it's unbelievable. Like,
but didn't
she says, you know, they have all of our stuff, but they just it's rearranged better.
It looks better in there.
Yeah, but they've done it better. Every line for line in this movie, there's so much
so
truth.
Great. But what'd you think about the theme? Like, to me, I thought it was disillusionment.
Absolutely. See, I thought it was. I thought it was being okay with who you were. I thought Ben Stiller finally in the end. Realized he wasn't going to be what he thought he was going to be, but it was okay because he actually was fine with where he was at. I really thought that was a huge theme too, with being okay with where you're at and not trying to be what you're not, because he's never going to be that person. He wasn't that person. You know what I mean? And he, I love that he was so fucking true. He admitted he was jealous. He admitted that he thought this shit sucked and he couldn't believe it worked. You know what I mean? Like, all that shit's real. You know what I mean? As an artist, you have those moments, and those are such honest moments. And like, his honesty compared to the juxtaposition for the other characters, you know, dishonesty and everything was a fucking illusion, was great. And the fact that there wasn't the big reveal was great. I mean, everything about this movie.
It was a I love it. It was like a faux reveal. It was so good because it plays, because like you say, this movie is about, is almost in a way kind of a love story to movies again, just because it plays homage to movies itself by playing into the idea of what you expect to happen in this movie, right? And it turns it on its ear again, but all playing into that whole theme of disillusionment, right? He consistently gets disillusioned by everything, even by the movie storyline itself, which should turn out one way, but turns out a completely different way, you know? And he's just my only gripe is wrong, you know?
My only gripe in this movie is I would have loved, instead, not to give a huge spoiler, but instead of going to Haiti, I would have loved for them to just be going to Paris, like they said they never did. You know what I mean? That would have been, I thought, I was hoping that's what they were going to go do, because I thought the Haiti thing was just a minor sellout. But I just didn't like that plot turn for myself. Like, I didn't like the plot point. I would have more enjoyed them sticking to who they originally thought they were, you know, and kind of being that couple. But that minor quibble aside, best movie of the year so far. If this isn't nominated for at least best screenplay, we're going to have problems come Oscar time, because this is bullshit. I mean, this better be a fantastic year for something to beat this out of at least being nominated for the best screenplay. And I'm off my soapbox. Yeah, I'm glad we're agreeing on this.
I mean, we're the only ones that think this. You know, it doesn't have the highest ratings around the world. So,
I, you know, you give these disillusionment movies, and to be fair, the indie film world pumps these things out by the boat full, and I have little tolerance for it. I mean, there's a few of them that I don't mind.
But this is different. I mean, it's not about, to me, these types of movies aren't about what they're about. It's the artistry and craft that goes into making this that makes it just, you know, way better than anything else out there, period. Better than action. I love action movies. You want a stupid action movie? Great, wonderful. It doesn't hold a candle to this. This is fucking artistry, you know. At its max.
Do you know how you can tell it's great artistry? Is because it looks effortless. Everything in this looks like they just picked up a camera and just shot, and it looks 100% effortless. Like everybody just kind of showed up and did their thing. But this was extremely hard to do, tone wise and consistency and performance. I mean, everybody is uniformly strong. So While We're Young, look it up, get it, do whatever you got to do to find it. You're gonna be missing out on the best movie of the year if you don't see it. All right, what else we got here? The Maze Runner won. Now we got the Scorch Trials, the Scorch, one. Out in theaters. I caught up with the first one. Did you see the first one?
Yeah, I saw it a long time ago.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about this thing. Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Where would you stand on the 4-star scale? Like, where did you, a thumbs up, thumbs down?
On a 4-star scale? I give it a thumbs up. I liked it. You know, 3 stars.
Okay, so we're in the same ballpark then. I'm in the same vicinity as you. I thought this thing, out of the whole Hunger Game Pretenders, is probably the best that's come since.
It's entertaining as hell.
It feels like Lost, like an extended version of Lost. It does a lot.
Yeah. The second one, I think looks good too. I'd be like, that looks entertaining. From the first one, I'd like to see what happens.
I thought the only problem with this movie, kind of like with Lost, was that it started out very interesting, but kind of as it went along, it got a little less interesting to me when they started revealing some things and how certain stuff were. That's just the nature of the movie. They can't keep it mystery for so long. But I just thought that the initial premise was so intriguing. I'm curious to see where they go to next. But I just kept thinking, man, this is like somebody watched Lost and said, hey, I got an idea if they just woke up on this thing. And, but I'm a big fan of Lost, so this worked for me. And I like this Dylan O'Brien kid.
It's good for young adult stuff, you know. It was good.
I thought he was good for a little here. And like the Lord of the Flies element to it, I thought was fairly well done.
Yeah, and the whole maze thing was interesting. I guess they don't have a maze next time, so I don't know what they're going to do.
But the effects here look pretty impressive for being a $34 million film, especially the scale and like how
they can do cheap effects now, right?
Yeah, right.
they can.
That's why a lot of
them are very good.
We're in the dark. But for these young adult novels, I liked Ender's Game. I think I liked. I didn't really like.
That's
Divergent.
A classic. That's old. That stood the test of time.
Yeah. Although some people give me shit on the website for for recommending that. I mean, I don't know why.
Ender's Game?
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it's good.
Yeah, thank you. But I do think that the Maze Runner is the best of the best of the bottom, I guess.
Best of the current ones. I mean, The Giver is horrendous.
I couldn't get through it.
Yeah, there are a couple other ones. You know, the Divergent ones are okay, but they're really not good. I think The Maze Runner is much better.
God, I saw one. What was the one I saw a couple of years? The Beautiful Creatures? Did you see
that
one?
Oh, yeah, that one's bad.
Wow, that's
odd.
That
one's real bad.
It's just odd. I mean, I can't – it's not necessarily bad. It's
no,
just
it's
so,
bad.
Like,
you can say
thought
it.
Of it. I mean, I can't believe that anybody read bad. That. We should make that a movie.
It's so cheap. And, you know, there was a couple other ones that were in that same vein.
Yeah, like the Mortal Bones, City of Instruments, or whatever that was.
Oh, that one. Yeah, there was that one. Yes, and those didn't really, those didn't last,
you know,
for obvious reasons.
As film people here, doesn't it sad you how many of these fucking bad things we see? Talking while we're young, and now I'm thinking about these movies, it's like shriveling me. It's terrible.
Yeah, but they're just, you know, it's a completely separate thing. So I would never talk about these in the same way I would talk about While We're Young.
But getting
right?
back to While We're Young, I love when he says to his friend, they have no sense of they said they watch The Goonies, they watch Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
He's like, they have no, it's all equal. And then his buddy goes, well, since when did The Goonies become a good movie?
But it's true, right?
Line for line, I'm telling you, that's a great movie. Oh, man. That is true. But I would recommend The Maze Runner as well. So now I'm kind of excited to go see The Scorch Trials because I got to know what fucking happens. Yeah. It's like Lost. Now I got to know what happens.
Yeah,
even though
right.
I kind of know what happens.
And it looks good. You know the special effects are going to be good and the action sequences are going to hold up well enough because they've already done it once when they just kind of pulled it out of their butt, it seems like. So if they can do that, then fine.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
As I watched that, was Patricia Clarkson there at the end as the the runner. Is it me or was she not the person who was like the Delta Control in Oblivion? Are we a happy team? Are we a functional team? Was that the same Bard? Am I tripping?
Maybe.
You know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah.
It's like when you figure out that Paul Bettany is Jarvis. It all makes sense, you know.
Well, they gave that one away.
I thought it was Jude Law.
They're not the same person?
No, it could be.
I'm pretty sure they're related.
They just like when one doesn't do a movie, the other one does it.
Yeah, them and Ewan McGregor as well. They're related, all of them.
I just like to say somehow. Ewan. It's not Ewan, it's Ewan.
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan. See, if your name's Ewan.
My name's Ewan McGregor.
Can you just spell it with a Q? Why don't you just fucking Q Ewan?
Q-in. That's Quinn.
That's awesome.
Okay, let's. What else? What are we doing?
Trailer Addict? Trailer Addict.
Trailers can be wondrous things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
Are you going to watch the Taken television show?
No, I didn't watch Taken 2, so I've only seen 2 out of 3 movies. I'm not watching the television show.
You're gonna watch
you think
TV
we need
show?
More Taken?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you can get, you know, 12 episodes of Taken, wouldn't you want to be Taken 12 more times?
Are you going to watch the Taken?
You know, if Liam Neeson was doing the Taking, I'd be more interested in being taken by Liam Neeson.
It's not that far-fetched of an idea, because Statham's coming to TV to do...
Oh, is he?
A miniseries based on...
I don't think Liam Neeson's going to be doing it. Although he's the one that said they're making a TV show.
Wesley Snipes is in a television show that's
premiered. Yeah, he's in a TV show now.
Although he's like Charlie's Angel. He's like Charlie to Charlie's Angels in the show.
Is he? It almost looked like sort of weird JAG thing.
Nah, it threw me off. It's the other dude who's like the main guy. I watched the trailer for the show. It's like Wesley Snipes is the player. I watched the trailer. Where the fuck is Wesley Snipes at? 2 minutes into it, he's the guy giving
he's on
the
intercom.
Guy. Yeah, he's giving
it's
this,
just
like,
his
this,
voice.
This message will self-destruct type shit. And I'm thinking, oh, you lazy bastard. You wanted to pick up a paycheck for 2 days of work.
No, they couldn't get him out of the trailer, so they just said, here's a microphone. Just
I thought it was interesting, too, that Snipes said that he was approached for the role of Lucius for Empire that went to Terrence Howard, but it just wasn't a right fit for him.
They're both crazy, so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think I've said you this before, but if you watch the Chris Tucker Live comedy special, he talks about how the IRS came after him, and he said he just got bad advice from Wesley Snipes, and he's, you know, recounts a story where He's out in front of a club, and Wesley Snipes is smoking weed with him and tells him, "You pay taxes." He says, "Blade doesn't pay taxes." Which is totally consistent with anything you've ever heard anyone say about Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Not only referring to himself in the third person, but yet as Blade, as Ryan Reynolds jokingly said.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay, what trailers did we
have? Our brand is Crisis.
Where do you want to go?
Political satire, comedy, I don't know what you'd call this.
This is an award thing, right?
Yeah, Sandra Bullock making her bid for Best Actress, who looks hot as shit still. This woman does not age.
I'm seeing the lines. I don't know about that.
I'm seeing the lines.
Yeah, yeah. Look closer.
There's only one line I'd like to see.
She's showing her age. Still beautiful, but she's showing her age, which is good because, you know, I mean, there's like only a few older women out there who are really holding down, you know, leading roles at this point.
And she looks good in this. She's killing this with the comedy and the seriousness and...
mostly serious. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, but
I like that bit
at the end about the he'd rather commit suicide than appear in a commercial.
Yeah, and this is a political drama based off real stuff. And this is a documentary called Our Brand is Crisis. This is based on. So this is just a Hollywood mentory. What would you call this?
Restyling, apparently.
Anyhow, I think it looks good. My only issue with these is that, you know, it's kind of the same. How hard is it to make? These must be easy to make. You just use the same, you know, 60s, 70s music and just say, like, you know, it's a revolution.
It's directed by David Gordon Green, who's done things as varied as what's the one with Ryan Reynolds? And the blow up doll. Can't think of the name of it. My goodness.
Ryan Reynolds.
Not Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Gosling.
Right. Yeah. Lars and the Real Girl.
Yes. Thank you. And Pineapple Express and things like that. And
although Ryan Reynolds and what's his name? They're the same person too. Okay, if you didn't know that.
Gosling and Reynolds?
Gosling and Reynolds. They're the same person. No, they really are.
I got proof. They had a face off. It's fine.
There's lots of people.
I think face-offs do occur.
They do. I've seen the movie.
I love your gripe, though, about it.
That's real.
You do have a good logical point that they do switch faces, but we could tell because John Travolta's fat as fuck. Nicolas Cage has got a red
face. Nicolas Cage is a little skinnier.
You are right, my friend.
I mean, that's that John Woo fucking logic for you. It's in every single one of his movies, he really nails it down to a T where you just, you know, you can't, I dare you to find a flaw. There, you can't find him. Exactly. Those are only in his American-speaking ones. In the Chinese ones or whatever, they're usually – those are pretty okay.
Yeah, the American ones, he's like, fuck it.
That's what – yeah. American audiences are stupid. No, they'll never get it.
You know, you and I fucking basically met the guy, smoked a cigarette with the fucking cat. And I mean, what the fuck? That guy, he couldn't – the weird thing about it is he spoke zero English. So I thought, how do you direct English – how do you read a script and go, oh, okay, I can understand how to like – move that scene along or what the theme is or the point of the scene, but I don't know. I think Terrence Chang is producer is doing a lot more than producing.
Well, back to your hot mama.
Demolition.
We're moving on.
Let's continue the whole fucking Jake Gyllenhaal is going to get an Oscar this year narrative because that hasn't been worn out enough. I don't know. Every time he's got a movie, that's like the new narrative, right? It's like Nightcrawler, he's up for an Oscar.
Not with this movie.
Southpaw, he's up for an Oscar. Demolition, this is Oscar bait. Nah. Everest, he's going to be good in this. This is Oscar. What is this guy going to be nominated every category every day?
Yes.
Can we just get an Oscar already and get the fucking thing over with? Thanks. I'm tired of hearing about it. He looks good in this, but he looks good in everything. So like, he doesn't look better at this than he did in Southpaw or Nightcrawler. So... what's the fuck? This is like taking over the festivals by storm.
I don't know.
I don't
just
like
a big
this
deal.
I didn't
he's,
think
he
looked very good.
He's also Wes Bentley, just so you know. I'm just saying. I told you, there's a lot of people that are the same people. I'm just saying. I think they do this on purpose so they get, you know, a better shot at.
That's funny. I never thought about
the awards.
You're right. The Jake Gyllenhaal that took too many drugs. Oh, shit. That is fucking funny. Sorry, you threw me. I lost my total train of thought.
Demolition. This looks pretty shitty. Do you think this looks good?
No, this just looks like the topical type of shit like 99 Homes that's out right now. And
well, this just feels like it's about a guy and his wife just died and now he has to get through it. And you're like, yeah, but that's the whole movie? Like, that's it? That's all you got for me? And it's kind of told in a funny way. And you're like, well, I just didn't feel like a thing to me. It felt like a 90s type movie, actually.
It didn't feel like any. It looked like Source Code gone wrong.
Yeah, Source Code's awesome, though.
Source Code is great. Watch that Gyllenhaal movie and skip this piece of shit. That's what I'm saying. All right. What do we have? Krampus here.
Krampus.
Starring Krampus. Adam Scott, who's actually the same person as Ron Livingston. So
they are the same, except he's like dwarf Ron Livingston.
There you go.
He's shorter.
Or Joel McHale might be in there somewhere. No.
Joel McHale doesn't work in there, right?
Krampus. No, this looks actually surprisingly good. This is the horror, comedy horror film of the season. I really want to see this movie. I thought this looks
good.
It
looks good. Like
fun. Yeah. And a holiday release.
That's the best I can say for it.
Yeah, it looks like fun. It's not going to win any fucking awards.
It might be really slow. It looks. I mean, this trailer is a slow fucking burn.
It's a slow burn, but at least it's consistent with the. You know, the jokes are consistent throughout it. I like the guy keep nudging her about the food and whatnot, and the special effects look good. And I don't know. I like horror films during the Christmas season. I don't know what it is, but it's nice counter programming. They did that for a long time. They always have a horror film out during Christmas, and they don't do it anymore. But this looks fun, like Santa's sleigh. Along those lines.
Yeah, this isn't the only Krampus movie coming out. There's a couple of B versions of this, which I thought this was going to be another one of those. So I'm glad to see this is more of an A version. But this is becoming popular to take Santa or Christmas themed movies and really turn them into horror movies. And, you know, there's been a couple along the way. But I don't know if it's ever been more popular now. And there was that, what was it, the Norwegian film not too long ago that I think almost in a way kicked this off, that foreign film.
Yeah, I can't
remember what that
title
was.
Yeah, no, I can't recall.
I can't remember
either,
but it was an evil Santa Claus that came out there. It was really neat, cool looking movie. So this kind of feels an American remake, maybe. I don't know. The guy that did, he was the same guy that made Samuel Jackson plays the president. And he gets
Big Game
shot down. Big Game, yeah. Same guy that did that, but the same little kid.
It was basically the Rennie Harlan of Iceland.
Yeah,
and he got him Big Game.
He's the same guy. Isn't Rennie Harlan from where's he's from?
He might be from Iceland
someplace.
Oh, well, he's the new Rennie Harlan. How about that? check out Krampus coming out Christmas. Also, we have Back in Time, which is basically a feature-length documentary about the cultural impact of Back to the Future, featuring all new interviews with everybody of any significance that ever was associated with the movie, from Spielberg to Huey Lewis in the news. What do we think about this?
This looks pretty, I think, boring.
It looks good, but it doesn't look like it should be a standalone feature. This looks like it should be boring. A special disc on a fucking Blu-ray.
I don't know if this looks. Yeah, that's exactly what this looks like to me. This looks about as exciting as a special feature. You know, it's really not. There's just no. I didn't feel any excitement in this movie or in this trailer, at least for this. I wasn't really like that intrigued by what they were going into.
Yeah, there's not really a huge story here of a problematic production or anything like that, like Lost Souls, which I recommended earlier. This month on the podcast, but I recently went back and watched the bonus feature for the Indiana Jones, the supplementary features. It's a 3-hour long making documentary about traveling around and making all three movies. That's what this reminded me of. And I just kept thinking this should just be included on a new Blu-ray release instead of being its own feature, whatever the hell they're trying to do with this. I think it actually benefits the Michael J. Fox Charity Foundation, which they slightly allude to in that trailer that I saw, at least. So I think that's why this is being released.
Huh.
And the movie's 30 years old, so they took the opportunity to do both. What do we have next? The Jungle Book. This is Jon Favreau's entry into Disney territory.
Well, yet another bringing to adults something that was for kids. Reimagining something that when you were a kid, you watched, right?
For all the technical wizardry I saw on screen, I could care less about this.
This is pretty big. This looks pretty cookie cutter to me. You know, Pan reminds me, is coming out. It looks just like this. You know, they update it. They do it. You're basically trying to make kind of a Hook type situation.
Yeah.
Without the flair. I mean, Hook is at least interesting. or at least an interesting idea. This is just an update for adults, you know, and it's always epic, right? I mean, oh, look, we've made this epic. And you're like, but it's the Jungle Book. Like, does it have to be fucking epic? Does it have to be like, I don't know. It's just, that wasn't the, like, the, when I was a kid, I didn't like the Jungle Book cartoon because it was epic. Why does everything have to be so epic?
It has to be 2 hours and 22 minutes long.
I'm so sick of it. Like, I mean, God, everything looks the same, you know? There's just explosions, people running. You know, it's like Pirates of the Caribbean. No, not all movies need to be Pirates of the Caribbean. Come on. I don't need it.
Like I said, special effects here look really good, but I didn't buy. I didn't catch on for any of this. So I'd rather watch George of the Jungle. Let's move on. At least that has a sense of humor. We got Steve Jobs, the feature-length trailer. We talked about the teaser trailer a while back. This is the full-length, three-minute-long trailer. We get a full idea of what we are going to be seeing, and I'm in. I was from the jump. I think this looks very, very good, and I'm looking for, this is going to be better than the Ashton Kutcher one, let's be honest. So
right,
that would not be hard to beat, but at the same time, I'm intrigued, and I look forward to seeing this.
I mean, this is a much better trailer. That teaser was just was nothing. It was like announcing the movie.
It was an announcement, yeah.
This is a real movie. I was fearful that we were going to get some weird, you know, teleplay type thing, but this is a real movie. So I'm happy. I think this looks really good. What more can you say? I mean, it's Steve Jobs, right? It looks pretty much exactly what you would expect from it. My only gripe is, let's stop using The Social Network to stack these movies up against and let's stop, you know, I don't know who we're going to do next, but let's not, if we do like, you know, a tech mogul or whatever next, let's not do it in the fashion of a David Fincher film.
Yeah.
Because it's,
this looks like Danny Boyle doing David Fincher.
Right.
It?
I mean, like, I don't see Danny Boyle in this anywhere. Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. And it's so funny to hear him. To hear him going around talking about this movie, and he's so proud of it, obviously, which he probably should be. It looks really great, but at the same time, for him to go around saying we should make more movies about people like Steve Jobs, you know, it's like, well, we don't even need a director anymore. You don't even need Aaron Sorkin. Like, we know how to write it. I don't know. I wish he was more original.
I really like Sorkin. I think The American President is a fantastic fucking movie that was overlooked when it was out. So I've always thought, obviously, A Few Good Men is one
it's of my all. Favorite. Yeah, it's all fine, but at this point we're gonna run into a situation where he's gonna be, you know, he's just gonna be aping himself, since that's the word you love.
Oh, I hope he doesn't ape himself on air.
Oh, he's gonna do it. And so, you know, that's what I'm saying. I would like some, I don't know, degree of difference.
Well, for the moment, this looks fantastic.
Looks great. I'm willing to forgive it. I'm just saying, in the future, guys, you know,
change it up a bit.
Can I just get like a normal movie or something different? I don't know.
Well, even Concussion looks like a Fincher, you know, like we were talking about Will Smith, like that kind of man Fincher, super serious, glossy texture.
But it's at least not, doesn't have the, you know, the flair that The Social Network had. Whereas this Steve Jobs movie, I mean, the music, everything about it just reeks of Social Network. And they put the name right up there, so you know,
immediately what to
this
compare.
Is what we're doing. We're selling this on that. You know, we've made it like this because we know, we know that sells. I don't know. Whatever.
All right, and the last movie we'll be talking about today is Creed. We talked about the first trailer for this. They released a second trailer, a little bit more story-driven. I got mixed emotions on this one. What are you feeling here before I go on?
Yeah, I still think this looks good, but we were fearful of the whole Rocky being sick thing. You know, I liked the idea of it. I liked that what they were trying for, but I just think it's unnecessary.
You said, I agree. It's the whole two fights at once. I understand what they're going to be aiming for at this point, but damn, you know. There's other ways to do it. And Paulie's dead? Fucking Paulie's dead? You gave that away with the shot? I mean, Paulie's dead too now? So I'm just really didn't want to see my American hero just, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when you watch The Godfathers and you get all the way to part three and you got Michael Corleone as this shriveled man, this fucking shell of himself. And you're like, this is no good, man. This isn't the character I loved. So that's my fear here. But then again, these are just trailers and there's a lot to like in these trailers too, you know? So, man, I don't know. I'm getting a little fearful though here. So.
It is going to be just what it is. I don't think that we're going to get anything more out of the movie than what we see in the trailer. You don't think we get Creed 2? Possibly. I mean, I don't know that it would. You could get a Creed 2 without even setting up for a Creed 2, right? And it would just be another movie. I don't really think we're setting up for like a trilogy or anything. Obviously.
You know how they have like Rambo, First Blood Part 2? I think we should have Creed 2, Rocky Part 8.
Rocky Part 8. That would be pretty good.
Creed 2, Rocky Part 8 coming this summer.
I will say that I'm liking television cuts of trailers better than feature cuts, feature trailers.
I didn't see the television
cuts. Have you seen this? Not necessarily of this, but you know, the James Bond especially. Well, this happens recently. I don't really have TV, but I go to my parents' house sometimes and watch TV. And I see these TV cuts of trailers, and they're compacted, they're small, and I think, fuck, I want that looks so much better. And the James Bond TV spots are fucking awesome.
Wait, to clarify, you have TV, you just don't have cable right now.
I don't have cable. That's that's TV.
Yeah, well, that's true. So,
but I have Netflix. You don't know, but I can't.
It's what you're saying.
Yeah, if I watch trailers, it's real. It's full trailers. You know, it's full real thing. I don't get the TV spots and stuff. So, and the Steve Jobs TV spot was great as well. I'm just liking those. I think those are better cut trailers than the actual full length trailers we're getting.
See, I see the 15 set, like the mini trailer spots on football, which they run mercilessly. Oh, and it's like a 15 second spot of just it's fucking a blur. You know, it's like Terminator.
The 30 second spot. Yeah,
it's those a name are, and a date basically.
I've seen those too. I'm talking more like the 30 second spots.
Yeah, those are like the sitcom type.
But the James Bond one was just all action. I was like, damn, it looks like a James Bond movie. Whereas the trailer's like, I'm James Bond. You know, half of it's farting around and shit. It's like, that's not James Bond. He's not doing anything. He's moping.
Well, you did say off air that you took my recommendation and started watching The Goldbergs.
It's true. I have been watching that.
And now you become a fan of that show. Thank you for backing me up on that.
It is a great show. So,
what happened the first time around? You just weren't into it, or what was the deal?
Yeah, I watched it and I was like, I'm done. So I forced myself to watch a couple of them, and I was hooked.
Yeah, I think Jeff Garlin is awesome in that show. I think it's really underrated.
Everyone's so good in that. I mean, the brother, I love the way the brother runs. I think that's hysterical. But the brother's, you know, an idiot. And the kid in that is really good. Obviously, Patton Oswalt, you know, narration is great.
Yeah. And the smother.
But even... Yeah, the way the kid talks and stuff, I don't know. And it's very reminds me a lot of my childhood. So,
yeah, a great show for anybody that grew up with the 80s, 90s childhood, The Goldbergs. And they do a lot of special episodes where the movie theme, they have a Goonies episode, they have a Lost Boys episode they just did recently. And they're just really spot on for a lot of things in childhood. Like we were talking off air about when you used to buy CDs and they were in the long cardboard packaging. I mean, that's if you weren't alive in the 90s, you probably don't remember that.
Well, and I love the ending where he shows the real VHS, you know, tapes of
of this situation
of the stuff, and he says like, you know, this person was real, and you know, this episode is dedicated to this person, whatever. I love that.
Yeah, it's a great moment. It shows you that there is that these things are taken from not a writer's mind, but
well, it feels so real. You know, it's made for TV, obviously, so it's very embellished, but a lot of what happens feels real. Like, you know, like, oh, that kind of happened to me. I remember those toys.
Yeah.
He's like, I got Castle Grayskull. I was like, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. I see it in the back.
Get the microphone out.
Like, I like your fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark poster. Where you get that at? Oh, yes. Great show. Check out The Goldbergs. I think it's coming back on Wednesdays on, I think, NBC, ABC, one of the threes.
I don't know. Check it out. Hulu.
Also, go to moviemavericks.com. Look at our latest reviews for Tremors 5, Chain of Command, and a bunch of other new releases. Check out our past podcasts there, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, TalkShoe, everywhere else they got podcasts. And like us on Facebook. Do all this good stuff. Support Movie Mavericks. And we'll be back with you next week with a new podcast. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to moviemavericks.com/warp9. Engage!